State University Oral History Project by Beth Cantor at Central Park Apartments on November 1st, 1983 at 8 o'clock p.m. Okay, first of all, what do you remember about your parents and your family in your early childhood?
The first thing I remember in my early childhood was World War I.
Mm-hmm. What effect did it have upon your family?
Well, the effect that we worked for the Red Cross. And my mother always wanted to be a nurse. And I was the only girl, and I had two brothers. And my father was a blacksmith in Niles, and he worked very hard, but he didn't want his children to work as hard as he did. And he always looked forward to my brothers being doctors and me a school teacher.
What made you decide to be a nurse instead of a school teacher?
My mother and my brothers were in medical school, and my father died in 1929.
And how old were you in 1929?
I was 21. I was 21. I had just graduated from high school, and my brothers were they went to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to medical school in Cincinnati. Well, my dad didn't want to give up his girl. And then the Depression came on. And in 1929, in January, my father went to the bank and they were closed. And he died of a heart attack.
Oh, my.
Because he had two sons in college, and it was heartbreaking to know that you had no means of, you know, their tuition. And he was a hard-working man, and he was the only blacksmith in town. And at that time, blacksmithing was going out of style. Our cars were coming into existence then. And the most that, in those day and age, it was the milkman. He would come to your door. And the butcher man, he would come to your door. Grocery man would come to your door and get your order and then deliver your groceries. And his business was going down. And then the crash came of 1929. My father was only 54 years old. And the shock was too great. Because his heart was so set on his sons to become professional. Because when he was a boy, his older brother was sent to the ministry in Hiram, Ohio, to the Hiram Cox, and he was given a trade. And his other brothers were given a trade, blacksmithing and carriage making. And they had the brothers' shop here in Niles, where the Ankahaya driving is. Now that was the original blacksmith shop.
Were the streets brick?
No, there were no brick streets. No.
What was it like to live on a farm?
Well, we didn't live on a farm. We had an acre of ground in the city.
Uh-huh.
We had a house with two lots. Uh-huh. And it still stands on the corner of West Park Avenue and Victor Avenue.
But your father lived on a farm?
No, my father was raised on a farm from Youngstown.
How did you know about mom and dad met?
Yes. Well, my mother was from Champion, Ohio, and she was the oldest of eight children. And she would go to work at the High Lamp in Warren. And she would come into town with her dad and in the horse and buggy. And they would go to the blacksmith shop and have their horse yard. And that's how she met my father.
When were they married?
They were married in 1900.
And how soon after did you and your brothers come?
Well, my one brother was born in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
My second brother was born in 1904, and I was born in 1908.
What was
school like? When we went to school? Well, it was lovely. I went to school on Warren Avenue. It was modern. We had 8 grades. They were building the high schools on Chestnut Street now, but where I'm living here, that was a high school. It was called the Old Central High School. And then tore it down to build apartments for the senior citizens.
Then was 1 through 8 in the same room or in different rooms?
Oh no, we had different rooms. Oh yes. Oh yes, we had first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and we had floors, you know.
Uh-huh.
First floor was the first four grades, and the second floor was the next four grades. Yes. And then we were transferred to, high school. And one brother graduated in 1920, and the other one graduated in 1922 and played football for Niles High.
How did the football team do?
They did good. Yes, they did good. In 1920, they had the victorious football team of the year, and even the coach took them home to his hometown, and they beat his hometown players. Mm-hmm. And then my brothers went on to Miami, and they played on the football team down there, the Big Reds. Mm-hmm.
What was high school like?
Oh, high school was grand. Oh, it was lovely. I took the classical course, and we had history and English and science, and we had sewing and cooking, and it was really lovely.
How were dances?
Oh, yes, we had all kinds of activities. We had basketball. Oh, yes, and football.
And what kind of outfit did you wear to school?
Well, being the only girl, my mother made all my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I had outfits. In the morning, she would cut out the dress, try it on at noon. Of course, we walked to school. We walked to home for dinner. And we come back to school. And I think our school took up at 9 o'clock, and we got out about 3:30 in the afternoon. And as I was saying about my mother making my clothes, she would cut out the dress in the morning, and I'd leave, and then at noon, she would try it on me, and that night I was out wearing it.
What did you do for entertainment?
Entertainment? Oh, we had the great entertainment. We had Milton Lake was developed in my time. And then we'd go out there, you know, to picnics and dances. And, you know, it was great entertainment to have a cottage, you know. You'd go out there for the weekend. And it just had a lot of fun.
Did you work when you were in high school? Or
No.
When was your first job?
My first job was, after I graduated from high school. Then I was a beauty operator. My father, he wanted me to be home. So I went to Warren, and I enrolled in a beauty school up there, Maryland Beauty School.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for 3 years before I went into school. And the reason I went in, my father died. And my brothers then decided to keep my mother and me together. And they didn't want us to give up our home. So they had my mother come down, and she had an apartment in Cincinnati. And my brothers were in medical school. And they stayed with my mother, and I had to stay in the hospital. Then, after my second brother, he graduated in June of 1930. I graduated in June of 1932. I come home in July, and my mom wasn't well. And she said to me, I've been to the doctor today, and he says I have cancer.
And I said, where? And she said, here, on her tongue. I couldn't believe it. And I said, my first job then was to go to Cleveland City. I had a job in September. I was to be there 1st of September. Well, I was offered a job in Cincinnati when I graduated, but I wanted to be close to home. So Cook County and Cincinnati and Cleveland are about the same. So my director of nurses asked me if I would like to go to Cleveland, then I'd be close to my mother. And I was to be there on September the 1st. So I come in July. And I thought, well, I'll stay with my mother. Then when she told me she had cancer, well, I couldn't believe it. So I said, well, do you want to go to Cleveland or do you want to go down to Cincinnati where my brother's from? And she said, we better go where your brother's from. So we went down, and I drove her down. And when I told my brothers, I said, Dr. Thomas in Warren, come right out, told her. And I said, my mother was only 49 years old. She was born July the 8th. And this was just around her birthday. And my brother said, we don't believe it. And I said, I don't either. So Jewish Hospital is a great hospital there, and it's right across from General Hospital, where we've been. So my brothers went to the best doctors. And Dr. Adler, he was one of the best eye, ear, nose, and throat surgeons there. And he just looked at my mother, and he said, operation immediately. And here it was in her throat. And he said, I've been coming out for 3 years. And there was no history of cancer in her family. And my grandma and grandpa lived to about 48. And my grandma died about 86, and my grandma was about 86. And my mom lived from July to February. But she was never bedfast. She died today. She was up the day she died. She died.
There wasn't anything in that time frame that they were.
No. Again, my brothers were, you know, doctors. They did the best they could for her. They operated. They went all us in the operating room. I think they removed part of the tongue. And then they told us that, you know, to do the best we could for her. And, I kept my home open on Park Avenue, and my brother said, well, keep the home open, their homes open, and since that, and my one brother was in Milford, Ohio. He had taken over a doctor's practice down there, and he was very successful. And we did that. But in the meantime, in August, I married my first boyfriend.
From high school? Or
no, from Braceville. And it was quite a history back of him, too. He was from Newton Falls in Baysville, and they wrote up Newton Falls, and they had the history of Newton Falls about salt. I meant to get that out for you, about how precious salt was, and, you know, they went to Cleveland to get the salt, and their John Lane, he loaned his oxen to go up and bring the salt back. And on the way back, they broke down, and the Indians took after them. And it was very interesting. And I was trying to find that for you. Well, that was fun. So I married him, and I 34 years. Then he had cancer. He came home from work. He was she and Kay and Youngstown. He came home, and he didn't feel well. In the hospital, and they thought he had infectious hepatitis. He was only 61 years old. Dr. Mellon, Dr. Westbrook. And they operated, and the doctor told me, he said he knew the cause, but he didn't have the cure. They operated my husband the 1st of February. In 1967, he died on the 3rd of July, 1967. And I've been alone ever since.
Where did you move to when you got married?
I stayed in my same home. Never moved. Never left.
What was Niles like?
Well, Niles, at that time, we had Republic Steel. We had Barrelworks. We had Stanley Manufacturing. But Niles never grew. They never had a hospital. The merchants had fashions, but they weren't the high fashions. You usually went to Warner Youngstown if you wanted, you know, if you wanted to buy a car. There were a lot of dealers in Niles, but Warren seemed to have the better dealership. You know, when you buy a car, they'd probably give you the best deal. And as far as working, you know, we had WPA, remember? Through the Depression, we had WPA that, and then sugar was scarce, coffee was scarce, meat. Oh, you would do anything to get meat. I worked at Ravenna Arsenal.
Tell me a little bit about the Ravenna Arsenal.
Well, the Ravenna Arsenal was run by the government and by the Atlas Powder Company from Tamaqua, Pennsylvania. I worked for the Atlas Powder Company. I was a nurse out there. There were about 58 nurses. There were 10 or 12 doctors. I just don't know how many they employed, but I worked terms. I was with the same people all the time. I worked out there 3.5 years. It was a very dangerous. I started a detonator, which was very dangerous. The ambulance was stationed at my dispensary. We had our own dispensaries, but we did have the main hospital. But they were very, very strict. I worked with all women. They were searched for matches. You know, women smoke today. They hadn't, you know, years ago. You'd think of a woman smoking. But the women do smoke today. And it seems to be that you go so long without smoking, and then you get the urge you want to smoke. So with these girls, they had to change from street clothes to uniforms. And it was very dangerous work. It was, one person put it in here, this in there.
Very bad type line?
Yeah, it was on the top. Yeah, very dangerous. Some of the ladies got their hair in the, it was just clockwork, you know, you were just like a machine. And I had to give those ladies a vitamin C pill every day because of the sunshine. They didn't get the sunshine. And their hair turned orange.
From the vitamin C?
From the powder.
From the powder.
Mm-hmm. And, I had to take their blood pressure every month. And they took very good care of their people. And it was very interesting work.
What road did you travel to get there?
I traveled.
How long did it take you?
Yes. I took 3 other people with me.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I traveled from Niles to Newton Falls. And then I went out of Newton Falls on a little short street, and it was Route 5 today. Or I could come out Route 5 to Warren and from Warren Niles. But it was shorter for me to go out of Niles, out through Lordstown, into Newton Falls and then up to the Venomous.
Well, in those times there was gas rationing.
Yes, and that's the reason I got the gas, because I was a nurse and I take three other people with me. Mm-hmm. And I would take an hour in the morning to pick them up and an hour in the evening to take them home.
What time did you get home about?
Well, we worked our shifts. We worked from 7 to 3, 3 to 11, and 11 to 12. So it just depended. And the snow was bad. We were there in all kinds of weather. And I don't think I missed a day of work. And our wages weren't too high, but we were frozen in our jobs. I left one Trumbull Memorial Hospital. And and the director of nursing wasn't very happy with me because I'd left. And then when the Vanna Hospital closed, well, the nurses that had been up at Trumbull Memorial, we were given our job back. So I went to work at Green Cross Hospital, and that was an osteopathic hospital. And my brothers weren't very happy with me either, working in a osteopathic. They said, the medical people taught you what you know, and we want you to work for medical people. So I went to work for the Republic Steel Company in Warren.
As their nurse?
It was their nurse, uh-huh. Yes, as one of the nurses. And we worked the three shifts up there, too. And we worked around the clock. And I've had an interesting life of working.
Tell me a little bit about what Niles was like, say, during a special holiday. Maybe Christmas would be a good one?
Yes, Niles always decorated. They always had the home, of course, you know, was always decorated. And carol singers would always come around, you know. And the churches, you know, you always went to church on Christmas Eve. And
what were Depression Christmases like?
Well, of course, I was, after my mother died, she left me everything. She left me the home. And then where the Niles post office is there, after my father died, 1930, the government come along and wanted that property. And my father had invested in a home and property there where the Niles post office is now. And they sold that in 1930. My mother sold that in 1930. So that's what helped to finish my education and my brother's education. And then what was left, my mother left to me, and she left me the home. So I worked, and my husband did a little work, but it wasn't, my husband worked at the Newton Falls mill, and it was transferred to Monroe, Michigan. So then he just did little odd jobs. So Christmas was, he had five sisters and a brother, and they lived around Newton Falls. And so my Christmases were sort of happy Christmases. And we exchanged presents and all that. But I would never be proud.
I have a particular interest. I'm very involved in fashion. What was fashion? What
can you Oh, high fashion. High fashion. If you had a fur coat, you know. Oh, yes. And we had muffs. Oh, yes. We had muffs. And we had our hats matched our furs, you know. And, yeah, the fashions were very, elegant, I'll say. Our clothes were trimmed with fur. We had beautiful buttons and we had buckles. And our clothes were long. Our dresses were long.
What was a typical nurse's uniform?
Oh, that was the straight, you know, we had to send our uniforms to the laundry. Uh-huh. You didn't wear pantsuits or you didn't wear slacks. We didn't wear slacks at any time.
The long skirts then, or what?
Yeah, the laundry did our uniforms. Uh-huh. Yeah, they were professional uniforms. And you always felt, you know, that you were well-groomed. You always wore your cap, always wore your white shoes and hose. You always wore your pin to show, because you worked for that. You worked hard for your and you sort of stood out. You did. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, you stood out. And people admired you. They respected you. And
to go back for a minute, was there a demand for women nurses? I mean, was there ever a man nurse at that
Shorty.
Time?
No, no. You could always get a job. Like with me, my brothers told me, they said if you were graduated from the University of Cincinnati, you could go anywhere and get a job. And I did.
The University of Cincinnati then was the place to go for medicine, would you say, of this area?
Yes, a college is, when you say you've graduated from a school of nursing, or university of nursing, I'd say, Cook County, as I said, and Cleveland, and John Hopkins, you know, they're real well represented, and we never had any trouble getting into work.
Tell me about the early romance with your marriage and that. What, was there any particular place you used to go, or?
Well,
and how did you meet?
My early romance was my neighbor across the street from me. He was a coal dealer. He sold, you know, he had mules. And my father shod his mules, you know, and when they come to, now they live across the street from me. So they went up in the country, up at Eastville. And this beautiful farm, and they even had a sugar bush on it, and there was two boys and five girls. And Ellen Robb, she was my best girlfriend, and her mother was Elaine. So her brother was Perry Lane, and they had this beautiful farm up in Graceville. So she asked me to go with her to visit her aunt and uncle. So I did. This one little boy stood out. He was John Lane. I was about 10 years old. He was probably about 13. So he looked at me and I looked at him and he says, "Do you want to go down to the river and fish?" I didn't know anything about fishing. I lived in the city all right, you know. So I went down the creek, and he loved to fish. And then he would come down to visit his aunt and uncle, and they'd always come over to see me. Well, then, when I went away to nursing school, he went to Hiram College, and his father died. So he had to work, but he went to Ohio State. But he never graduated from Ohio State. He was a draftsman. And his aunt, after I had graduated from nursing school and I was home with my mother, he came down to visit his aunt. She was very sick. And his aunt said, "Helen's home." And he came over to see Helen. And the next thing you know, he asked me to marry him.
How soon after was it that he asked you to marry?
This was in July, and we were married in August. He was 48, and I 25.
What was your wedding like?
Well, it wasn't much of a wedding because my mother was dying. But I wanted my mother to know that I was married before she died. And it was a very quiet wedding. And my mother, she's worshipped my husband. And he's buried beside her.
Where are they buried alive?
No, Oakwood Cemetery in Hawaii.
What kind of things, like during the Depression, did you do for fun, you know, around here?
Well, I worked. I worked in the hospital. And
was there time for pleasure, or was there too much worry about?
Well, I had all this property on Park Avenue, and my husband was interested in nursery. And there was a greenhouse up on the corner, Evans's Greenhouse. And there was a man that come down from Gates Mills, as a suburb out of Greenwood. So he had this gorgeous nursery, and his name was Mr. Mastrangelo. So he took a liking to my husband, and we had an acre of ground in the city. And so he said that he couldn't give his shrubs and his flowers to people around Gates Mill because that wasn't good for business. But it was good for a business for him to give to us. And he said that if we would take what he would give, what we could have for free. So we had a car and we rented a trailer. We went up to his nursery, and it's still in existence up there in Gates Mills today. And when we ended up, we had $2,400 worth of shrubs. We had every kind of a shrub and flower you could think of. We have a magnolia that's still out there and blooms every day. And through him getting to us, he got business in Warren and Niles. They would come to our home. And that's what my husband and I did. We planted it all. We'd go up there and we would dig, and we'd come home and we'd plant it. And we ended up with $2,400 worth of shrubs. And it was beautiful. We had the best looking lawn on Park Avenue. We worked. And that's how we in our time. And it was a great pleasure. In the spring, our bulbs would bloom, our daffodils, hyacinths, grape hyacinths, tulips, lilacs, magnolias, and flowering crab, flowering beet, flowering quince. We even had the Washington cherry, flowering cherry like they had in Washington. It was just in dogwoods. We had everything. And this man gave it to us because he said that we brought him business.
So then that you would consider your hobby and pleasure?
Yes, in gardening. Mm-hmm.
What was a daily routine of, like, cleaning the house? What did you do?
Well, we did everything. We papered. We clean. I remodeled. We put in a brick front. We put on aluminum siding. We put in a new bath. We put on storm windows. And we put on a patio. It was pleasure to do and improve our surroundings. We were home people. We loved our home. But we went to Canada fishing. We went to Florida. Oh, yes, we would go down to Florida. We went down to Orlando, Florida. We lived there for 2 winters. I worked in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. I worked with heart and alcohol. My husband fished. Yeah, it was good. And that's what we enjoyed. And when my husband was so sick, he had every kind of a motor you could think of. We had a riding mower. We had a oat. Last thing my husband did in April was spray fruit trees. We had miniature fruit trees, apple, dwarf they call them. We had dwarf cherry, dwarf peach, dwarf apple. We had everything. And it was our pleasure just to go out in our yard.
So after you worked at the arsenal, and you worked at Green Cross?
I worked at Green Cross, and then they called me to Copperwell Steel. I worked at Copperwell Steel with Mr. Holmquist. And then when I was in Copperwell, some of my friends that was out at the Ravana Arsenal contacted me at Republic Steel. And they said, why don't you come down to Republic Steel? And it was closer to home. It was only 3 miles from my home up to Republic Steel. I used to go on 1 Avenue. And it was only 3 miles. And I worked under Mr. Frank Flynn. He was a wonderful supervisor. We didn't have too many accidents.
How many years did you work at Copperwell?
3 years.
At Copperwell.
3 years.
At Republic
Steel. 3 years. And then I was a visiting nurse in one.
What kind of experience was that?
Well, that was an experience to go out into homes and help people with doctor's orders, of course. You go into the homes and help them and teach them how to do for people. We didn't have nursing homes. You helped your own people.
Now, what year did you start visiting nurses?
Visiting nurses? I worked as visiting nurses in 1950.
What do you find change in people from, say, the Depression to the visiting nurse then?
Well, we didn't have as much sickness as we have today. Mm-hmm. Our sickness was limited. It was more emergencies. It wasn't chronic complainers.
Mm-hmm. People didn't...
They didn't...
violently ill as today.
No. No, they didn't cater to their pains and aches. Like today, arthritis and heart and back. Everybody has a back condition. Or they have a pain here. They have that goes away and then they get another pain. And then that goes away and they get another pain.
Do you think it's changed because of the lifestyle people live today as opposed to?
Well, I think Medicare, people say, well, I pay for things, and they want to get the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Whereas then they didn't have
it. They didn't have it. No. No, you had to pay for your own medicines. Medicines have really gone sky high.
What things did you do for people then, say, with cancer as a nurse?
Cancer, the main thing is keeping the patient comfortable, having beautiful surroundings.
So there was more emphasis upon healthy mental state.
Yes.
A physical state that was deteriorating.
Yes. Yes. Because there's no cure. That's what Dr. Miller told me with my husband. I know the cause, but I don't have the cure. And I said, would my husband have to have another operation? He said, no. He said, take him home and do the best you can for him. And I took him to the hospital at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he passed away at 9 o'clock that night. July the 3rd.
What happened to your brothers during this?
Well, my brother was very, very successful. One of them located in Milford, Ohio. Mm-hmm. He was there. He took his patients to Christ Hospital in Cincinnati. Very well known. He was this old-fashioned type of a doctor. He would go to your home, you would call him out, or he was on the staff at Christ Hospital in Cincinnati. He died at the age of 54. He worked very, very hard. His daughter left for John Hopkins Nursing School. And he was sort of wishing that she would stay in Cincinnati, go to Cincinnati University. But she preferred to go to John Hopkins. So she left, and the next day he was found dead. He was dead.
And your other brother?
My other brother, he was very successful, and he was in Dayton High. He was I. He was one of six doctors of the world that did eye, and he had his own eye bank. His son has taken over his work in Dayton. He had his office across from Miami Valley Hospital. And my brother came home in 1972 for his 50th alumna of Niles High. He'd come from Russia. He lectured in every country. And he had to come home from Russia, but he wanted to come back to Niles High for his 50th alumna. And he came back in October. And Thanksgiving Day, he had his family home. There were 15 of them. And the following Sunday, he died of a heart attack in 72. He was 68. He was very successful.
So both of your brothers did.
Very successful. They were football players, and they said probably that was a heart condition that they both developed from strenuous, because they just loved outdoor sports.
How were they thought of? From the people back home?
Well, they were thought of very successful. Mm-hmm. We had some of the school teachers here go to my brothers in Dayton for their eye. They were very well known. They worked hard. They wanted to be a success. My father didn't want them going in a mill. And he wanted them to be doctors. And each one of them had 9 years. And they did what their father asked of them. And I did what my mother asked of me.
Was that more common than to do as your parents asked?
Yes.
That was the trend.
Yes. Your parents wanted you to do, yes, they had asked you to do.
What happened to some of your friends? What were their professions for today?
Well,
like what happened to your best friend, you said?
Well, my best friend, they got married. Mm-hmm. They had children. They had family. They didn't work. Women didn't work then.
So you were almost somewhat of an oddity, being a nurse, or because you had a...
Yeah, well, you were expected to work, uh-huh. Yes, because you had a profession. Yes. They thought that you could work.
But it was and either a profession or a house, quote-unquote, wife type.
Yes, women get married and are homemakers. That's a profession. Yes. And if you don't have children, but then, in my day and age, it was, I had to keep my home. I had to pay my taxes. I had to pay my utilities. I had to have transportation. You had to help.
In the 50s, what had changed about 9? Like, for instance, when was the memorial built?
Oh, that was built, in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, like, do you remember being on a dedication for it, or?
Well, yes, we had the library in the memorial. When I was in high school, that was our library. Mm-hmm. And we were very proud to think that we had something, you know, of President McKinley. Mm-hmm. Well, we were very proud of our Niles. I didn't know any other place but Niles, you know. I thought people all lived the same, you know. You went to church, you had a car, you had good food, you had a comfortable home.
So the family unit was much more important than the social.
Yes, yes.
The social.
You were more family. Mm-hmm. Of course, they had the Masons, you know, they had organization. My father was an odd fellow. Rebecca's, the odd fellows. And of course, you know, business people are in those organizations and they meet people. Mm-hmm. And that's how business is brought about.
Mm-hmm. Has there always, and now it's been a very pride about McKinley?
Yeah. We like to claim him. Okay. He was born here. But Canton, you know, he's buried in Canton. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what was it like to be here when, say, for instance, during World War II and the people who went? Did you know many people who went to war?
No, because I didn't have any children. My work was always hospital. Mm-hmm. All I ever knew was sickness, mm-hmm. taking care of the sick. I wasn't close. My brother had a son. He was at Northwestern College, and he was in service. But as far
so you did have a tie,
yes,
with a soldier, but
yes.
How did Niles react to peace finally at the end of the war? Was it special?
Oh yes, yes. It was to see our boys come back. And it wasn't too much to offer them, though. When they came back, then they got a scholarship to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And if they accepted it, it was a benefit to them. Mm-hmm.
Did many people just come home and go straight to
work?
Republic or
Yeah.
That was that more the
route? Yeah, they went to Packard. Uh-huh. Yeah, they went into an industry.
Industry, more mm-hmm. than Scholastic.
Mm-hmm.
What's Niles been like in the last 20 years to you? It's been a transition of change with the closing down of the plants?
Yes, Niles has. They've moved out of Niles, out into the plazas. Mm-hmm. Of course, Eastwood Mall is claimed by Niles. Downtown Niles is not the same. There's not that communication of people. Years ago, when you come down to Niles and you meet people and you go into the stores and you meet people, it's not like that today. People don't know you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the downtown structure of towns is deteriorating?
Very much. Very much. They've taken our hotel down. they've taken our stores out.
So really there's not much left in downtown Niles?
No.
As opposed to there was Great Common?
Yes. There's no future. There's no future in Niles. We senior citizens now looked on as the old folks. We have no transportation. We don't need it.
What?
They took buses away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've only got two food stores to walk to. We've got four banks to put our money in, which we don't have.
Yeah, I agree. Would you consider Niles an old town?
Yes. Niles was, the Mahoning River has always been in Niles. The railroad, we had the Pennsy, we had the Erie, we had the B&O. Niles was really a settlement of Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Indians were here. We had South Springs over here, South Springs Road. We had the mineral, salt mineral. Yes.
In it being an old town, does it have a place in 1983?
Well, the people in Niles, first it was the steel mills which started Niles. And now that the steel mills are out of Niles, people just, they can't pay their taxes.
Do you foresee a chance that Niles will come back? Or the whole, maybe I should rephrase, the whole Youngstown Warren area, since it's all kind of together. I mean, has it come back from great, desperation before?
Yeah.
It's never been tested.
I don't want to say, I don't want
to turn off.